Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? And welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Racially Conscious Collaboration, where they're setting out on a mission to equip organizations to be able to deal with racial issues in our country and around our world. Their motto is, when racism stops, we'll stop. So again, visit their website at raciallyconsciouscollaboration.com to get more information about them and to get yourselves pumped up to end that ill image, that ill peace in our society that's dividing us as a country. So folks, you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Chris Wilson. How you doing, sir?
I'm blessed. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, doctor, for having me. Very happy to be on the show.
It's an honor to have you on, Chris. And for the folks who may not necessarily know a great deal about you, can you just briefly tell us about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So my day job is I work for a nonprofit business trades association. I'm kind of a newbie to that organization. I left working for the California State Legislature after 12 years. My volunteer time is I'm a appointed planning commissioner for the city of Signal Hill. It's a small little town in Southern California. Also a member of the 100 Black Men of Long Beach.
I love it. One of my favorite organizations out there. Yes.
Mentoring the 100 way. And, yeah. I just do what I can to be an ear to the community and just be a change agent and, you know, it just in God's image. So I'm very happy to be where I'm at, given the pandemic that has hemorrhaged us for the last year and a half.
Absolutely. And Chris, it's an honor to have you on the show. And if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Oh, there's so many ways. So my website is Wilson, for the actual word, for the future.com. So it's okay. Wilson for the future.com. You can also follow me on Facebook, Christopher Wilson. I'm also on Instagram, MR_Wilson562. And those are the primary ways to just, you know, stay in touch and just see the types of work that I'm doing, God's work. And just trying to just do what I can just to, you know, lift up voices.
Awesome. I love it. And so folks, if you're out there, make sure you get a hold of Chris. He's giving me a lot of different ways to contact him as well. So Chris, as you know, the purpose of our show is to really kind of focus in, bring people like yourselves on and kind of have you talk through about one of your most difficult times. So I'm gonna get started here with my question here. What's been the biggest obstacle you had to overcome personally and professionally?
I think the biggest obstacle I had to overcome was in middle school. I had a lot of image challenges. I wanted to be somebody who I wasn't, and I could, you know, dive into more detail later. But that was my biggest, you know, I went so far in trying to dress myself up to somebody who I wasn't just because I received a compliment from somebody that I looked like somebody. Wow. And I wanted to be that somebody. And I think that it's important to talk about those types of things out loud. Absolutely. And you know, without any reservation, only because, you know, social media is a great thing, you know, and it could definitely uplift a lot of people, but it could also be a bad thing in the events of cyberbullying, body shaming, mental health awareness mental health in general has increased during the pandemic. And it's really easy to fool somebody on social media, but you can't really fool yourself.
Absolutely. You're exactly right about that, Chris. And I appreciate you bringing that up here. So tell us a little more details about how that piece came about. You were trying to be someone else that you weren't. Where did that kind of evolve from?
So in middle school, I'm not too sure if you know who Craig David is. He's a British R&B singer. He came out with some albums in the US and you know, nowadays he's kind of drifted off. He kind of, you know, hasn't really been in the limelight as much. Anyways, one of my best friends, Mark, who is still, you know, my best friend today since kindergarten, he actually came up to me and told me one day during middle school that I looked like Craig David. And I took that really to heart because before that I was very insecure about myself. I wasn't very proud of who I was. I had depression. I just, you know, didn't feel like doing a lot of things that, you know, normal kids did at that time.
Sure.
And so when Mark told me that I looked like Craig David, I really took that to heart. And I went so far in going home that night and finding my mom's makeup, my mom's mascara, because one of the things about Craig David is he had sideburns that was very, very significant and very, very on point, very slim. And he had a goatee and everything in the whole nine. And, you know, I had a little bit of peach fuzz, you know, a mustache, but nothing too defining as like he did. And so I you know, went home that night. I looked my mom's mascara and I actually drew sideburns connecting to my goatee to look like him.
Right.
And I did that because I felt that, well, you know, here, you know, people or one person is saying I look like Craig David, and I want to be able to resemble that because of all of the benefits that he received, or you know, whether it's attention or whether it's, you know, that aha, you know, moment. And so I went to school the next day with, you know, the mascara on my face. I tried to make it as real as possible. So I did smudge it in to create like a shadow. So it wasn't like really, really fake, like a clown or something. Uh-huh. And so I fooled a lot of people. I kept that on for about a week, and it was exhausting, you know, just going, you know, going home that night after school and taking it off and then putting it back on the next morning. And, you know, one day, I think it was like the eighth or ninth day, one of my friends during class, Danica, she actually, you know, she came up to me and gave me that kind of awkward look and approached me even closer and said, "Chris, you know, do you have makeup on?" And so very, you know, very innocently and honestly, I said, "Yes." And so she took her thumb, licked it, and smudged off a part of my sideburns. And I was so embarrassed.
Wow.
And that evening, I went home and I just looked in the mirror for about 15 minutes. And I just asked myself, what am I doing to myself? What am I trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
And for those 8 days leading up until that one day, again, I had fooled everybody except for myself.
Yeah,
I knew who I was trying to be, but I didn't know who I was actually in God's image. And yeah, so that was one of my turning points.
Chris, that's powerful. I thank you so much for being transparent and honest about that, because, you know, we as all individuals, we probably go through those pieces or turns in our life where we're all searching for who we are at the core. As you were searching at the core, trying to find out who you were, and talk to us about some of the feelings and emotions that you were dealing with, you know, especially being a young person trying to figure this thing out. What's some of the feeling and emotions that you had to kind of grapple with during this time?
So one of those challenges was just image challenges. And it was a lot of just, you know, I wanted to be in that inner circle. I wanted to be, you know, that popular kid. And I was going through all these like changes, like visual changes. I even went so far in trying to dye my hair brown because I wanted to look like Chris Brown and Usher. You know, and just because of the attention that they received from women. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely my biggest downfall. And I felt, you know, very, very like I was like, you know, tricking people into thinking that I was somebody who I was not. And, you know, I carried that until about high school, where I finally said enough is enough. I'm just going to be who I am, flaws and all. I'm going to be unapologetic, and I'm just going to just live, you know, live the best way that I can live with no regrets. And that's when I started, you know, turning my life around and just, you know, seeing life in a whole different way. Just being more positive, understanding that people will always have their opinions of you, you know, and sometimes people make it their personal business to be able to be in yours. Absolutely. And that was, but middle school was definitely my turning point. And I had no regrets, because if I didn't have that moment, if I didn't go through that transition or that, you know, that journey, I wouldn't be where I'm at talking to you and openly being transparent, like you said, and honest about who I am and who I was, regardless of what people think about me.
Absolutely. You know, that is such a tough and major time for a lot of young people, you know, middle school, high school years. Did you have any guides or mentors to kind of help you kind of think through this process when you were, you know, kind of dealing with those issues around identity?
You know, my grandmother, she lived to about 100 years old. Wow. And she was my mentor. You know, she was the reason why I got involved in public service, because I started working in politics and government in 2008 or so, when President Obama came into office. And she was kind of my rock that I kind of leaned on. You know, she was born in 1911, you know, died in 2011. You know, at a time when, like, the new thing was planes in the sky and cars on the road, you know, lived through two world wars, saw Great Depression, and was able to vote for the first Black president. Wow. So, you know, she was kind of my inspiration to just, you know, say, you know, don't worry about what people think about you. Live the best life that you can, because tomorrow is never promised.
Right.
And I think that if we've ever learned that, we've learned that in the last year and a half, that tomorrow is never promised and every day is a blessing. I thank God that every day that I have the opportunity to breathe air when I wake up and go to bed. But she was my mentor. And, you know, I have a lot of other people that are my mentors now that I've never met.
Sure.
I've never met Les Brown, but right. I consider him one of my mentors, just because my story is very similar to his.
Absolutely. You know?
And so I feel that, you know, you don't have, it doesn't have to be a mentor in your life that is that you actually know. It could be someone that you just resemble.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in my life that I just spiritually, I just feel that I have a connection with.
That's awesome. And great words for folks out there. You don't necessarily have to have that person with you step by step to be your mentor. You can reach out to them long distance, social media. And, you know, so Chris, you know, on your darkest day, when you're trying to figure out this piece around identity, man, what kept you going? What kept you saying, hey, you know what? I don't have this thing figured out, but I'm not necessarily going to give up. I'm going to fight to figure out who Chris Wilson really is. What kept you going and fighting on your darkest day?
I think, to be honest with you, God did. You know, it was, you know, I gave my heart, I gave my soul, I gave my journey to God. And I said, hey, you know, would help me, you know, lead the way, you know. And, you know, every day there was times where I just didn't want to wake up in the morning. And I just was depressed. I just, you know, I felt like, well, why am I going to school? You know, right. I was also bullied too, you know, in middle school. That's something that I did mention also. But I was bullied to a point where I didn't want to go to school, you know, and, you know, this bully that, you know, bullied me throughout middle school, I felt, you know, robbed me a lot of my, you know, happy years in middle school. You know, I had to go so far and stealing money from my mom's jewelry box to be able to pay off this bully so he'll leave me alone. I look forward when he was absent, because those were the best days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I the times that he was there, it was like I was just like mute. I was like out of body, because I knew what was going to happen to me. I knew I was going to get beat up or made fun of because of my hair. I did have an afro in middle school, so I was teased about that. I was teased for being biracial.
Sure.
Because I'm Black and Latino. And so, you know, it was very traumatizing. But if I didn't have God, I don't think I would have made it.
Absolutely. And again, I can't thank you enough for being so transparent and honest about that, because we have so many young people who may be biracial or just studied, you know, it could be any cultural group and just struggling with identity issues as well. You know, so as you look back today, how would you say this whole ordeal kind of shaped you as a person?
It's definitely made me stronger. I have a different outlook in life. You know, I try to lift as I climb.
Absolutely.
And I try to share those transparent, honest, uncensored, explicit stories, because those are the types of things that we need to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, those types of uncomfortable conversations, because I lived through them, I went through them, and I made it out, you know, who I am today. So mm-hmm. that's, I want to be able to give back in, you know, whether it's, you know, writing a book, whether it's talking about, you know, my story in front of people, talking to people like you through, you know, podcasts and other social media mechanisms, any way that I could just be a part of that process and just change people's lives. You know, I just want to do, but I don't have any regrets. You know, people ask me, well, you know, do you blame the bully? No, I don't blame the bully, because I don't know what he went through. You know, I don't know his, you know, what his childhood looked like, or the reason why he bullied me. Mm-hmm. You know, these are things that we don't know about. Absolutely. And, you know, look at Zoom, you know, the last year and a half, you know, we see what's in this box, but we don't know what's beyond the box.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we don't know if like the home is, you know, not suitable, not livable. We don't know if you know, so it's again, you know, it's dressing it up to make it what it looks like, but what the reality is could be different.
Absolutely. And that's very well said as well. So, you know, as you reflect back today and you look on your journey from kind of that place of hurt to healing, mm-hmm. and who you are today as Chris Wilson, would you do anything differently?
No, absolutely not. Because again, I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't learn from those mistakes, learn from those challenges, and be able to share those stories. Because if I was brought up, if I was not bullied, if I didn't have image challenges, I wouldn't be able to share those types of stories with people that are afraid of judgment, that are afraid of coming out of their skin and entering into a different zone and speak openly about those things. You know, we hear about it, but we don't actually get, you know, really understand that, wow, you know, Robin Williams went through this as an actor. You know, there's a lot of people that go through a lot of depression, and, you know, but we just see the lavish lifestyles on TV, but we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You know, and I think that in my opinion, it's very important to raise the awareness about, you know, mental health challenges. Be able to just talk to people in an honest way and not sugarcoat things.
Yes. So yeah, that is very much needed, big time in our society. And I appreciate you bringing up that piece here. You know, and my last question here, you know, we're coming off a year, Chris, where there are people, man, who have, they've lost possessions, they lost jobs, they've lost mm-hmm. loved ones, they've lost hope and identity in many of them situations here. What words of advice can you give those folks out there who are kind of scrambling and searching and hoping and praying and just wanting a new day to come? What points of advice can you give them out there to let them know that a brighter day is going to come?
You know, one of the amazing things about the human body is that there's so many ways that we can just utilize it, not only physically, but intellectually. The brain is an amazing thing to have. It's also important to have, you know, God in your life, from whatever walk of life you come from, it's definitely important to understand that, you know, that the Bible's not going to have every answer in the world. It doesn't tell you the how. It tells you the where. It tells you the who. But the how is left up to God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a actual manuscript where you could actually learn step by step. You know, the Bible teaches us to write the vision and make it plain, for it shall come at an appointed time. You have to believe that. You have to be able to write things down, things that you want to accomplish. You know, I have a vision board. I get very excited to be able to cross things out and right. add things on. But it's important to be able to love yourself, mm-hmm. trust yourself, and be able to trust God, because he has great things. You know, you may not be able to see it, but God sees your future. And as you can hear, I'm a very religious person. And I really believe that, you know, the best is always yet to come for us. We just have to just trust the process, trust why God created us in his own image, and the rest shall come.
Yes. Chris, that's great advice out there. Folks, I hope you're taking this advice to heart. You're talking about a person who's been there, done it. If you're looking for a speaker, you got to make sure you get Chris brought into your organization. Chris, what's the name of your book as well that you just recently come out with?
It's called Blue Talks, Business, Life, and the Universe. I feel that they're all meshed into one. And one of the chapters I talk about is Authentically Bullied. Yes. You could find that book on Barnes & Noble. You could find that book on Amazon. And it's just something that I really had a hard time writing. But again, you know, I didn't have, when I wrote that chapter, I didn't have a pencil. I had a pen with me.
Yeah.
So, and you know, what I mean by that is I didn't edit myself. I was very, very explicit. I was very, very honest with myself, because until those types of conversations are had as a nation, as a world, we're always going to be just in that bubble. We need to be able to look at things differently and love people unconditionally.
That's right. That's right. I love it. So folks, you got to make sure you get out there and get this book, bring them in as a speaker. If people want to get a hold of you one more time, Chris, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. Yeah. Visit my website, www.wilsonforthefuture.com. That's F-O-R, not the actual number. There you can find all my social media handles. I'm on Facebook. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is MR_Wilson562. And it, you know, just you know, reach out to me. You know, you could also email me at mr.wilson562@gmail.com. And I, you know, I just wanted to be able to have conversations, because I don't know everything in the world. All I know is my story and my own. I want to learn yours. I want to be able to, because the more people that we touch, the more of a domino effect that it will have. But those are the primary ways to get in touch with me.
Absolutely. He's giving you no excuses not to be able to get a hold of him. So
right.
Reach out to him as well. So Chris, on a final note here, the focus of our podcast centers around two things: purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Wow. Those are two very strong words. Well, you always have to live your life with a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and if, you know, I believe that God had a sense of humor when he all made us in his own image. Nice. Whether it's characteristics, whether it's physical ability, whether it's education, the list goes on and on. Yes. But you have to have purpose. You have to trust God. You have to trust the process. One of the Bible verses that I like to recite a lot is have not because you ask not. If you don't take the time to ask God for things, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, we could be able to, you know, I believe we all have parachutes on our backs. And, you know, what happens when you jump off a cliff? You're going to fall. You're going to get some bumps and scrapes and along the way and everything. But eventually that parachute will open and you will soar. Absolutely. So you have to be able to trust the process and to be able to believe in God and trust in yourself, because you are amazing, and always remember that you are enough.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very well said, Chris. I can't thank you enough for being on the show. Folks out there, if you're someone who has an amazing story of overcoming, we want to hear from you, please go to tawatson.com. Again, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. Again, Chris Wilson, thank you very much for joining us today. Hey, folks out there, thank you for joining us as well. Peace and God blesses everyone. See you soon.
Yours truly.
Thank you,
Dr. Watson.